Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence, the premier professional community of B2B women leaders, executives, owners, and professionals. I want to welcome everybody this morning, and especially I want to welcome our leading lady today, which is Anna Runyon, who is the founder and president of Classy Career Girl. And she's also the author of The Professional Woman's Guide to Managing Men. So, Anna, welcome aboard this morning. Glad to have you on the radio.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, you've got a lot to say that you've packed into your book about what women need to do to manage men. I think that's a heck of a niche.
Definitely. It's been a really exciting topic, and I feel like I've struck a chord, and a lot of people are really, really enjoying the subject.
Well, you know, and I think, gosh, I wanted to dive right into it because I know we'll kind of get into a little bit about your background, but what's fascinating to me, you know, I've read articles on, you know, how women try to be like men in corporate America. Women, you know, try to manage like men do as the men do, you know, that kind of thing. So kind of what you can share with our listeners, it's like, what's your take on how women, at least professional women, can manage men if they're in that role as a woman leader or manager?
Yeah, so what actually happened is I found myself in that same exact spot. So I spent 8 years working at Booz Allen Hamilton, and I was a manager. And when I first started out managing, I tried to be like a man for a little while, and that did not work. And then I tried to be kind of like some of the other women that were leading as well. And I really found it really, really difficult to find out, like, what was my unique leadership style. And it wasn't until I started focusing on some of my strengths, some of my things that, you know, I felt like I was doing really well at and focused in on them. And that's when kind of my managerial style started to, like, take effect. And I really kind of came into my own as a manager. And then I figured out, like, I had to manage some men and I had to manage some women. And then that was a whole nother challenge. Like, these two are very, very different. And I had to go about it in a very, very different way. But I think it's really important, number one, to figure out, you know, what are those strengths? Women have a lot of strengths that men don't have and kind of make us unique. And some of them are like collaboration, you know, attention to detail, multitasking, calm under pressure, having empathy and intuition, kind of like that female intuition. So thinking of all those as strengths, rather than, you know, there's things, sometimes, you know, being too detailed or too perfectionist can actually be a negative thing, but thinking about them from the positive side is really, really important.
Well, and when you think of men, I mean, kind of share your experience, like what was it that kind of caught your attention or that you really changed about your leadership style? I mean, what changed for you where you started? I mean, that this leads to a whole host of questions, but, you know, how did you come up with the book? It's like, how did you change your leadership style? But the first one is, it's like, what are some of the things you changed, you know, in your leadership and managing of people, men versus women?
Yeah, so the big thing was I found my confidence and my assertiveness. So I worked for Booz Allen Hamilton, which is we did consulting for the military. So I found myself as one of the only women on a team of, like, you know, 9 guys, and then it was me. And so in the beginning, it was really hard to kind of stand up for myself and stick out and voice my ideas. And that's actually, it was really hard, but it really taught me so much about being assertive and sharing my ideas and not backing down, and then also figuring out, you know, all the jokes that they have and kind of figuring out, you know, men love humor and joking around. And so I realized, instead of being so serious, where I think a lot of women try to work so hard and you know, instead of promoting ourselves, we're out there just working really, really hard, being really, really serious, and men are out there joking around, having fun, you know, really developing that, like, that boys' network that sometimes we don't get involved in. And so that's another thing, too, is kind of I realized it's okay to, you know, laugh at their jokes, or as long as they were, like, okay, some of them are, like, okay, I pretended I plugged my ears and did not hear that. most of the time, you know, joining in and laughing and in their competition and their sportsman game.
Well, you know, and this leads to another question, because I always laugh because, you know, so many times of my background in corporate banking, I came from commercial banking in my, you know, grow up corporate days, and I, you know, I laugh somewhat because I do remember one time there was a conversation I had with a couple of my female colleagues, and it was, you know, speak as men do, and that's kind of a loaded response, because, you know, some men, it's like, you know, are very, let's just say, inappropriate in their conversation, you know, the kind of slang, the swearing, which unfortunately, and I'll probably just kind of like add a full disclosure, say I probably swear too much as far as in conversation, fire on you. But, you know, do you recommend that? I mean, speak like men do? Because, you know, I mean, there is that bantering, that jovial, you know, kind of add a guy kind of thing. I was curious, how do you recommend that to women? Should they speak like that?
Yeah, so you have to think about your values first. And I'm obviously, I've built this whole brand on being classy career girl. So I'm very,
right.
I'm more on the professional side, more on the classy side. I don't think, you know, if that's not comfortable for you, it's going back to your leadership style, like what is comfortable for you. For me, it wasn't comfortable for me to swear in the office and to kind of banter back in some of the ways that they were doing. So I had to make sure that I stuck with my professionalism, my class. But still, you know, I was okay with joking around and smiling and laughing at some of the things they were saying. But I think it goes back to what you're comfortable with, because you're not going to appear very confident. They're not going to respect you. Respect is really, really important. And if you're just kind of going along with it because you think that's what you should be doing, and that's not going to get the respect that you want to get from them. So I felt maintaining my class, my professionalism, was how I still was able to gain that respect.
No, that's a great statement. And I know, you know, one of the biggest things I always hear from women, because, again, you know, you and I are part of Connected Women of Influence, and I know you've got an amazing website for career women, classycareergirl.com, which we'll talk more about how people can reach you. But, you know, what are the things that you hear most about that women struggle with, not just managing men, but just, you know, being heard? It's like, you know, being taken seriously, which that's kind of a plus and a minus. Well, I want to be taken seriously, but then women act so serious. You know, you're one of like, oh, my gosh, you know, kind of like tear it down a bit, girl. So what do you recommend if, you know, that balance of how women can be taken seriously and get their ideas accepted and all that? What would you recommend to women that are listening today, that I know we have women listening that want that, you know, in their professional career?
Yeah, so I think there's nothing wrong with working hard, but you just got to tell people what you're doing and promote yourself. And I remember one time I was working my butt off. I thought, you know, everyone knew how hard I was working. I had actually, there were people that left my team, and I was actually managing three people's jobs too. And my boss did not even realize what I had been doing. And I went up to him and I said, I want a promotion. And he was like, you don't deserve a promotion. And then I took everything that I had done in that last year and presented it to him, and I got the promotion. But it was because I promoted myself. I told him what I was doing. I think we tend to think people know how hard we're working, you know, when we're back in our cubicle. But little things like forwarding an email or a thank you email from a client or any good little thing that you do, just telling them, you know, I finished this class when I was getting my MBA. I made sure people knew how hard I was working even outside of work, and I was going to school, you know, and doing things outside, and just little things like that. Going back to the communication thing for women too, it's really important when you're communicating with a man to keep it kind of short and sweet, and women tend to go on more detail and give more detail to information. But that's one thing I've noticed.
That's so true.
When I worked with a woman and saw her present material to a man, and she gave him all the background information first, and he was just not happy with it. Like, he was our client, and he did not appreciate what she was saying at all. And I had to jump in and say, oh, here's the point of what she's trying to get to. And then he was totally fine with it and happy with it. But just remembering, like, men want that point across as quickly as possible.
And I think women don't do that. But, you know, I mean, I want to go back to something you said a little bit. But, you know, touch on that because, you know, I mean, I have just literally, in the times I've interacted and interviewed men, you know, and what women do that kind of sabotage their success in business, you know, men will say women don't get to the point. You know, they absolutely, you know, will do everything but get to the finer point of, you know, what's the real issue. So what would you recommend to a woman? I mean, how would they go about that? Because I think for so many of us as women, you know, we want to say, okay, here's, you know, we get around to it. We tell the background. It's like we finally get to the present situation, and we're like, and here's what we want. How would you recommend, you know, a woman go about that if they struggle with getting to the point? What are things they could do? Are there some points you could make for us and our listeners?
Yeah, so this is really important because in my book I've tried to make it very how-to guide. So it's not like very much like general information, but it's like the how-to. And a couple of things that I said in the book about this is before you go into that conversation, you know, thinking about what are those most important things and writing them down even, like keeping those like big picture goals, those big picture things you want to communicate front and center. Another thing is, I mean, people can always follow up with the questions afterwards if they're not sure. So when you go into a conversation, you know, give them, you know, the point as quickly as possible, follow up and say, do you understand that? You know, do you have any questions about that? And remembering, like, if there's women in the room, too, they do want more of the detail, too, than the men do. So you kind of have to know your audience, know who you're going to a meeting with, especially maybe if it's, like, a one-on-one meeting with someone. You know, is it a man or is it a woman? And then you'll need to change how you do approach that situation. But, I have an example in the book about a presentation for a sales presentation, and the woman, you know, goes into a lot of detail. It's like, you know, 5 sentences about how we've gathered here today to talk about this so-and-so, and then gets to the point, you know, in the last sentence. But then the man makes it in, like, one sentence. He's like, we're here today, and this is what I think how we should go about our sales, you know, and it's just straight to the point. It leads to shorter meetings, which leads to, you know, more productivity, efficiency. No one likes super long, drawn-out meetings to begin with, especially men. So thinking about that before you go into those conversations and those presentations.
I have to laugh because I have a big meeting tomorrow, and I'm sitting here ticking off all the things you're saying and going, maybe I'm just really focused on getting more to the point than kind of giving the background story on why we're here. And it's like, what the goal is. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm just going to cut all that out because it really is. You know, you kind of go, okay, there's so much fluff here. Go back to one thing you mentioned, because I think this is an area that women struggle with as well. Is I hear a lot of times from women that they'll say, you know, in business, you know, my ideas, I'm just not heard. It's like, you know, I have ideas. I'll be around a table, whether it's a committee in a group project meeting, or let's say it's a boardroom where, you know, they're in a managerial role, and they, you know, discuss, you know, ideas, and they're brainstorming. And it always seems to me that I will hear from women that will say, it's like, you know, I have that idea, but, you know, until a man brings it up, I'm not heard. So what could a woman do in that scenario to be able to be more heard and then get that message across? And then, you know, because men will just say, oh, they'll take the idea. And I don't want to stir things up, but I'm saying I hear that more than often where women just say, it's like, man, I have the same idea, but my idea, it was brought up by a man later, and then they said, oh, great idea.
Yeah, see, it gets easier to speak up the more you practice. I've seen it the other way around where the woman doesn't say it, you know, kind of, and I've done this too where I've just kind of like waited, oh, well, it's not that great of an idea. And then, you know, a man speaks up, says the same exact thing that I was going to say, and then they run with it. So that's my experience is not speaking up and like, being afraid to speak up and not, you know, promoting your ideas. And it kind of goes back to, you know, not being scared of your ideas. I mean, we all fail. We all have bad ideas, but throwing it out there is better than not saying it. But I think for the people who, the woman who maybe voiced her opinion, I think there's something about, you know, talking about your ideas before the meeting as well. So if you do have something, you could maybe, you know, go to someone before the meeting, kind of give your ideas. That might help, you take credit for those ideas if you kind of were talking about them before the meeting. So that would be an idea. And then also maybe thinking about how you're presenting it during the meeting. So are you presenting it like very quietly and not very confidently, or are you, you know, really asserting that idea? And this is my idea, and like I think it would work, and I highly recommend this. And are you appearing confident when you're saying it, or is it just kind of like, well, you know, I have this idea. I don't know if you guys are going to really like it, but here's my idea. You know,
that's
if you do
true.
It two
that's
different ways.
Oh, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, women discount their ability and their confidence
yes.
so much, you know, because
mm-hmm.
they raise their voice at the end. Or, I mean, talk about that, because that, you're right, that is one way. We're like, I don't know if this is a good idea, but you're like, okay, well, it's already not a good idea to me.
Exactly. Like, saying that before totally discounts your idea. You're not valuing yourself. You're not valuing your ideas and the great work that you're doing. And it's just, that's a very different thing about men and women. You know, men are raised to promote themselves and compete, and like, you know, they want to go out there and show how great they're doing. And we as women, I mean, we're more humble. Like I get embarrassed when my dad is like talking about, you know, me as a child, and I get, you know, like, oh, dad, don't keep saying all the accomplishments I'm doing. You know, I just kind of want to like,
right.
you know, be humble. And so that was totally a challenge for me too, is, you know, promoting myself and getting out there and not being, you know, being confident in those ideas and those great things that I had to share. And I think that's what helped too, is the more I worked, the more confident I got in the deliverables that I was doing and things I was doing, that I was like, this is great, you need to go with this. And I was able to start convincing people because I was more confident in them.
I love that, because seriously, if there's one thing, and I've been, you know, accused of this as well, it's like, you know, we always want to sugarcoat the compliment that we get. It's like, oh, it was nothing, it was a team effort. And you look at, you know, seriously, in many cases with a male colleague, if it was the same compliment, they'd be like, yeah, right on, we worked hard, or I worked hard, or
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, they just take it. That's one thing I wish women would do, and I need to say this to myself as well, for any of the listeners, it's like, just take the compliment, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't sugarcoat it. Hey, something you mentioned before that I want to go back to, and that is, you know, you were talking about how, you know, keeping, you know, kind of like you presented to your boss when you were ready to ask for a promotion or even asked for a promotion, that you kind of had a list of the things you were working on. And that's something, too, I hear women, you know, they're going, really, I have to keep track of what I've accomplished all year? And emphatically, I always say yes. I mean, I learned this from a male colleague years ago when I was in banking, that it's like I used to keep a little, like, you know, almost like a, you know, like an accomplishment file, that it's like if I did something or if I went out of the way, because you don't remember a year later when you're having to come
mm-hmm.
up with all the reasons why. But what, in addition to that, or do you recommend that? How do you recommend women, you know, really kind of like make sure they're keeping track of their accomplishments and the things that they've done, or they've gone, you know, above and beyond, or even just, you know, met deadlines and projects and goals? How do you recommend
yeah.
or kind of tell women to keep track of that?
I love the folder idea, and that's exactly what I did as well. So anytime I would get a thank you email, or I did a good job, or just anything that would come as an email, because that's really someone else vouching for you, but you're
mm-hmm.
not doing it yourself, which is kind of a cool thing. It's an endorsement for you. So anytime you get an endorsement, award, or anything, I would always put that into a folder on your computer. So each year I'd have, you know, my assessment folder, and I put everything in there as soon as I got it. When I was working with clients, fortunately, we every month we had to keep track of everything we did so we could report it back to our client. So I think that's really, really important. Even if you're not required to do it, you must write down, maybe even on a weekly basis so you remember, like, what are all the great things that I did this week? Because it's not, you have to also think about it. It goes back to even when you do your resume, you want, instead of just listing tasks, you want to list accomplishments instead. So it's going to help you
mm-hmm.
in your whole career development, not just the tasks you did. Like, that's, you know, anyone can do tasks. What did you do unique to you that really helped you accomplish? And anytime you can do percentages or numbers in there, you know, you increase sales, you increase the percent of efficiency. That's the kind of stuff you really want to be tracking throughout the year. And as much as possible, getting other people's input, too. I know our company was really good about, you know, doing a 360 assessment and getting other people's input as well. So if you can ask, you know, if you did something great, ask them to send you an email that just says, you know, this is what you did. I really appreciate it. You know, great job. And that you can put in your folder as well.
And talk about, because some people might not know, Anna, what's the 360 assessment? I know it's how you collect details from...
Some
people might not know, so just explain that.
No, it's good. It is good. I forget that some people might not know, too. But basically, your manager or your boss will get input from everyone that you work with. So they would go around, you know, for our company, we would provide a list of people that we wanted to provide input to our assessment, and then they would go and interview them and see how you were doing. So that way it's not just feedback from you, but it's really feedback from everyone that you work with. And there's actually, you can even do this yourself if your company doesn't have this, an assessment process. You can do this yourself. You can even do it for free on like a SurveyMonkey.com survey where you create your own survey questions and it can be submitted anonymously and kind of get a feedback from other people of how well you're doing, what your strengths are, which is really, really good to know. And then anonymous feedback might come in too. And that's kind of the stuff that you want to know, but maybe people are afraid to tell you in person.
Right. No, good feedback. Because, I do think women don't toot their own horn enough, as we know. And I think those are some great tips because in addition to that, the stuff you're talking about, I would think that if you're first of all, women don't want to do it, but you know what? No one else is going to. And I even went so far as, I remember I'm a small business owner, but in corporate America, I still remember the time my mentor, which was a man, by the way, had said to me a month before the performance review, he said, Michelle, I want you to fill out this evaluation as if you were rating you. He goes, and I want you to talk about the good things that you've done. He goes, I want you to talk about the development areas. And he goes, I want you to also share where you see, you know, your professional track going in the company. And it was probably one of the most difficult things I ever had to do, but oh my gosh, Anna, doing that really gave me a chance to kind of assess, well, what, you know, not just being passive when I sit down in the performance review to hear what someone else thinks I'm doing, but it gave us a dialogue, and I use that today on any employee in our company, whether it's a man or a woman. I always make sure to kind of say, hey, you know, you fill this out. These are going to be the areas we're going to have as talking points. And I'm always fascinated that there's things I miss with employees, you know, and managing them. But, you know, would you recommend that? Because that was a great process for me. I'm curious what your thoughts are and whether that would be a good tool or not.
Yeah, definitely having some sort of development plan that you put together. So you don't want your development plan to be forced upon you. So you want to have some input into that. You know, what are those classes that you want to take? I know some managers will want you to go in one direction, but maybe you want to go somewhere else. And so having that input and writing it down, you know, I mean, research shows if you write down your goals, you're much more likely to achieve them as well. And so, yeah, I would highly, highly recommend putting together, you know, your personal development plan. What are the things you want to do in the next 1, 3, 5 years? And those classes you want to take, you know, anything that you can do within your company, like certain projects you want to take, you know, establishing more of a network in a certain area of the company, and building those relationships, getting a mentor, you know, those are all things that can go on your plan, and then you review it on a quarterly basis.
I love it. No, those are good. Those are wise words. And, you know, I'm going to shift gears because one of the things you talk about in your book is you talk about how to socialize, you know, within, you know, the company and handling social events with men. So I wanted to see, could you touch on, you know, because so many women will say, too, I mean, again, I think you and I are drinking the same Kool-Aid where we hear some of the same issues, is women will say, well, I don't have as much visibility as my male counterparts. You know, they just get invited into that boys club or senior management club. And women have to work hard to be able to get there, but being social and visible is one of those pieces. So what would be some suggestions you would have to our listeners if they're looking to be, you know, a little bit more visible, and how do they handle the kind of social minefield, if you will, in working in corporate America?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to go. So I think, and I've made this mistake as well, you know, there's always, one time I was on a work trip with all men, and they were all going out that night, you know, to dinner, and I so badly did not want to go to dinner with, you know, four guys, right?
Right.
But I knew that it would really help strengthen relationships with them, build that trust, build that respect, have them get to know me a little bit better on a personal level would help our working relationship the next day. So it was to go, but I'm glad I did. I went, and it totally did. Like, it definitely, you know, made our working relationship a lot better. So the first thing would be to make sure that you go, because you'll always be happy that you did. You'll develop that more personal connection that's really going to help you the next day. And the other thing is try to have a good time, too. I think a lot of times we think of it as just an extension of work. But you don't want to talk about work. You want to get to know them better on a personal level. You know, ask them questions, see what they're all about, see what their hobbies are, and kind of have it be more of a relaxed social mood. You know, there's always, you definitely, as we go back to my whole brand of classy career girl, there's definitely a class of professionalism thing that you still need to maintain. So even though, you know, it might be after hours, you still want to make sure, you know, obviously you're dressed appropriately, you're acting appropriately, you know, when you're limiting the drinking, you're not, you know, drinking too much as well, and still maintaining that class because it is an extension of work, especially if you're around a lot of men, but that you're having fun, you're getting to know people, you're attending events and going to the parties. But then you don't have to stay till the end either. I mean, you can always leave early. It's going back to your values, you know, what is important to you, what is the kind of, you know, example that you want to show of who you are. And but right. I think going to that can go a long ways in developing that, you know, relationship that you can bring into the meetings the next day. And you'll feel more comfortable, too, maybe speaking up and sharing your ideas as well.
I love it. And I know you also talk about in your book, it's like what not to do with managing men. So what are maybe 3 or 4 tips, because we're kind of on the downhill side here, I can't believe it. For listeners, it's like what are the top 4 things they should not do, you know, in managing men in the workplace?
So I mean, there's obviously the office relationships. I say that's a big no-no. A lot of people also, I mean, I think being an office mom is a major no-no as well. So thinking about, you know, what are the types of things you're doing in the office? Are you, you know, bringing in cookies and baking every day? Are you cleaning up after all the men in the meeting? Like, kind of think of what the type of tasks that you're doing. It's definitely something I know some women, you know, have the candy at their desks and, you know, what do you want to display, you know, in the working environment?
That's so funny. I've never thought of that. I've never thought of the office mom. That cracks me up, seriously, because like, you know, that is true, bringing cookies and, you know, making sure you remember people's birthdays, everybody. Oh, my God, that's so funny. Yeah, that's a good one. I'm sorry. I just didn't think of that before. Good
one. Yeah, it makes them think of their own mother, you know, and it's kind of like what do you want to represent? What do you want to display? I mean, I know when I go to work, I want to be on the same level as them, you know, like I want to be a colleague. I don't want to be, you know, their mother. I don't want to be nagging. I don't, you know, one of the things I heard in my research for this book is they don't like to be called boys. That's like one of the hugest things. If you say, you know, why don't you boys do that? Or why don't, you know, like, that's like, they cringe when you say boy, you know? So it's like, you don't want to, like, question their manhood at all at work and stuff. And just, you know, remembering what is that level that you want to represent at work is really, really important. And bringing in competition to the workplace. If you're managing men, any way you can bring in some level of competition, they love that. They, like, thrive on that. And then it kind of goes back into the sports talk as well. You know, men, a lot of times they're talking about sports, and women can sometimes tend to back away from that, you know, not want to get involved in that or think they're not being very professional talking about sports in the workplace. But I found if you can kind of get involved in that a little bit, you know, catch the highlights every morning, kind of know what's going on in the sporting events, you know the Super Bowl, it's coming up here. You know who won, know the halftime show, like Olympics, you know, big things like that, kind of know what's going on just to be able to kind of speak with them or listen and joke around or if there's some sort of competition going on. It's always good to kind of know what's going on.
I think that's good advice because, you know, I mean, again, that is what dudes talk about. I hate to say that, but, you know, women aren't, or men aren't talking about the latest fashions and, you know, the reality TV shows or that kind of stuff, or maybe they are, but I think sports talk is definitely one that more women need to kind of, like, you know, keep up on. Not that you have to know all the statistics, but you, that was great advice from the big ones.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes they even do, you know, their games or their competitions. And if you ask to join, you know, they're happy to have you join, but they might not ask you because they think you would never want to do it, you know. So a lot of times when I've asked to join, you know, some of their fantasy football leagues or something, they're totally thrilled to have a woman, you know, joining in with them. But they just never would have asked because they assumed I didn't want to, you know.
So, so true. Hey, we're on the downhill slide, so I want to make sure if anybody looks to reach you, because you do coaching, you do consulting, I believe, for career women. Is that correct? How does someone reach you if they want to get a hold of you?
Yep. So at classycareergirl.com, you can actually download the whole female leadership course I have, and you can download a free chapter of my book as well. It's one of my favorite chapters about how to be a confident female leader. So it goes in-depth into more of what we talked about today. But, yeah, classycareergirl.com, that's kind of where I house all of my information and programs, and also I'm on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Of course you are, absolutely. It's like I laugh on that one.
Yes.
I'm like, I feel like the old dog when I say that. But, yep, absolutely. And I know you've built quite the blog. And tell me again, because your website is actually, it's got Forbes recognition. Is that correct?
Yeah, so recently we became one of the top 100 websites for your career from Forbes. And then we also just got one of the 35 most influential career sites for 2014. So
that's
from
awesome.
Forbes. So 2014, it is. It's a big year. You know, we're coming out. I'm coming out with the book and hopefully to really do some fun stuff on the blog. So it's really exciting.
Well, I'd be amiss if I didn't say congratulations on the book. I know that that's a love and hate relationship. It takes forever to get them done. But once they're done, man, the baby's there, right?
Exactly. Yes, it's in my hands. It's for real, and I can give it to people now.
There you go. Well, and I know the book. Your book's available on Amazon. Is that correct? Because we'll have a link to your site on our. Okay, great. So if anybody wants to reach you, or please buy the book. The book is again called The Professional Woman's Guide to Managing Men. Anna Runyon, thank you for being on our show this morning. To our listeners,
thanks for having
me. I just want to say we'll be. Thank you. Next Monday, we'll be back again with another Women Leading the Way radio show. So for all of you listening, have a fabulous week. Thanks for listening in, and we will see you all real soon. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business, executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.